Welcome back to Ice to Shorts Winter Sports. This is our first episode of the 2021-2022 Sixers and Flyers seasons. They just kicked off this week. We're probably a couple days late for it, but it's exciting to get back to it. We got Eagles, we got Green Legion Radio all over the place. I am Mike Diaz, Philly Mike. I'm here with my partner in crime, Chris Sack, the Sackmaster, Reggie, hoo-ha-ha. Sack, you're going to have to help me because there's not a whole lot here to talk about. But I'm sure we'll think of a couple things. It's been pretty slow news week in the Philadelphia sports this week. Do you got anything for us?
I think we did the right thing, Diaz, by waiting a week to do this episode, because I know we wanted to do a preseason edition of the show, but they moved the players show from Thursdays to Tuesdays this past week, so we would have been a couple days late on the Flyers as it was anyway. So, but we chose the right time and place to do this show because there is nothing better than the story of Ben Simmons and the 76ers and the whole wide world of sports. And who?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Furkan Korkmaz's beef maz. His four three-pointers last night. That's what we were talking about.
Simmons, that's
a minor story, but yeah, we could touch on that. I'm sure.
I have beef with Korkmaz for that because I had a same game parlay last night, and them going off the way that they did, the starters didn't have to come back into the game. All I needed was one Danny Green three-pointer and one more point out of Seth Curry, and I would have hit for my parlay last night. Instead, the bench went off in the third, you know, at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, and nobody played after that. So, you know, but that's just how it goes. But we do listen. We love making money off of gambling, and that's what we enjoy doing at Fox Sports to Gamble 102.5 Fox Sports to Gamble. But in order for Green Legion Radio to make money, we have sponsors that handle that end of things. And all Green Legion Radio shows are brought to you by Bud Light, MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. Go to them and at 484-202-3656 or mcsinc-pa.com and mention the Green Legion to get 10% off any order that you place with MCS. I don't know if it's any order or if it's the first order, but hell, 10% off. I know I did with mine. They should be starting in the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to tell everybody about it with the work that they're going to do on my house. Stateside Vodka, The Next Sip, Cavs Restaurants, putting all the beautiful girls through law school and med school at Delilah's, City Fitness Philadelphia, Echelon Health and Fitness right here across the bridge over here in South Jersey, Bucks County Baseball Company. The website is bigger than the showroom. Go to buckscountybaseball.co.com.
That's it. You got it. There you go.
And visit their website today. Our friends over at the King of Prussia Diner, they are open. They've been open for a couple months now. Go get yourself an omelet. Cherry Hill Triplex right down the street from me, right here in Maple Shade, right over in Cherry Hill Triplex, the premier location to get a new vehicle for yourself. Dave Bavuso State Farm Insurance. Go see that sleeveless bastard over there in Williamstown and get yourself some life insurance.
Isn't everyone sleeveless in Willistown?
No, Williamstown. But Dave is the king of sleeveless. And there's no doubt about it. My man will shovel snow in the wintertime and nothing but shorts and a sleeveless shirt. Bank on that for sure. The Fin, we have the soft open. Go to greenlegion.com. We have a soft open on Tuesday for the Green Legion Player Show with Alex Singleton, Dave Spadaro, and Hollis Tang Thomas. Make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com. Get your tickets for the soft opening. That's the only way you're going to be able to get into the Player Show. So make sure you go to that. And then the week after that is full-fledged. Everything opens up at the Fin. So you guys are going to want to check that out. Upscale Surf and Turf Restaurant with crab du jour. Delicious food. Fantastic. And our friends at TwinSpires, our sports book, sign up with TwinSpires. I've been having people sign up for weeks now, Diaz. Go to TwinSpires, open up the app, mention Legion10 in the code, in the sign-up code. Deposit $10. Gamble it on any NFL game, but it has to be a line of -150 or lower. It tends to lean towards the underdog. Bet that $10. Whether you win or you lose, the next day you're going to get a $250 free bet. You have to use within a week, but you can use it in their online casino. You can use it in their sports book. However you want to do it, $250 worth of free bets for spending $10 of your own money. You're stupid if you don't do it. Go to TwinSpires app today and sign up and get that $250 worth of free bets. I know I did. I hit. I already cashed out for $600 off of that $250 of free play. My wife did cash out for $600 on that free play. You can too. Make that money and make it today.
There was in addition to that, with Twin Spires, every Eagles home game, they're picking out, they're using the code Legion10. They're looking at everyone that signed up. They're going to pick out one person that wins game tickets and tickets to our tailgate party at Xfinity Live. We've had two winners so far, right? We have had three home games.
Three home games, winners. Yeah.
The last guy, his name was Jake. When I called him, he was from so excited. Not from State Farm. The only person we talked to from State Farm is Dave Bavuso.
Correct.
But Jake, when I called, first off, he was freaking out that he won. He told me that the $250 free bet he got, pentupled it. I don't know what the word is, but he used that, won $1,250. So he cashed out for $1,500.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, that's a big win right there. $1,250 plus Eagles tickets plus the tailgate tickets. That's a nice deal. Yeah, so sign up for Twin Spires. They also give out to everyone that signs up with Legion 10, they give out a promo boost for each Eagles game. So that usually comes out on Saturday, get a little boost to increase your winnings, whichever side you boost. So it's right there for you. So I thought maybe we should talk about the Metropolitan Division or something like that starting out with? There's a lot of good teams in the Metropolitan Division.
There is. But I think we need to dive into Sixers first, DS. I think we need to give the people what they want. I think people want to hear your side of things, because I know they got my side of things on Tuesday night on the Players Show as we were leading into our hour with Sean Bradley. Fantastic show with Sean the other night. Great guest on the program. And, man, the people came out. A lot of pictures, a lot of autographs given that night. So make sure you guys come on out. Alex Singleton next Tuesday as well. You know, we'll be working on future shows with current players as well. But Diaz, let's dive into it, man. We have the Philadelphia 76ers and the standoff with Ben Simmons. These details right now that are coming out. I mean, we're getting Woj bombs left and right. I'm the Flyers guy on the show. But I'll tell you what, I enjoy this. This is a lot of fun, a lot of details to dive into. I want you to take it right from start, jump right into it, man. Ben Simmons.
It's really not that big of a story. I mean, you know, we can spend a couple minutes of it. Man, what a hilarious, hilarious mess. Every time I say anything here about Ben Simmons, it sounds like I'm trying to make excuses for him. Let me say this. Just terrible, terrible personality, absolutely terrible leadership, terrible representation. He's a 25-year-old guy. He's behaving like a 5-year-old. And I think a lot of this has what today we're recording on Thursday at 8 o'clock, Thursday the 21st. Jason Kelsey today. We heard what Zach Ertz was traded. We talked about that on the Green Legion Radio Players Show. Obviously Zach Ertz, forever an Eagle. He talked about what it's like playing here and winning here and you know, fans letting him know he's got to perform better, and everyone's like, Ben Simmons should listen to that. But today, Jason Kelsey, he said he didn't want to drop a bomb on anyone, and then dropped a colossal bomb, an atomic bomb, an H-bomb on Ben Simmons and shot it as is. Listen, Ben Simmons got all the support. I go to the games, and as much as people, we bitch about it, and Hollis and Quimby and you and me and, you know, people on the street, like the people in the stands supported Ben Simmons all the way through game 7 of that Hawks season series. The free throws, the collective groan when he would miss 5 or 6 in a row, or passing up a wide open shot, or of course the dunk or the pass, whatever we want to call it, to Thibault at the end of that game. We have supported him. We have given him all the support. All he had to do was just get better. He doesn't have to be LeBron. They said he's the next LeBron or Magic Johnson coming out of school. It's unfair. It's an unfair expectation. He's pretty damn good. And you know what? He doesn't have to be that good. I say it all the time. He's never going to be a shoot. Maybe definitions change. He's never going to be a good shooter. He has to be willing to shoot. He's wide open 2 or 3 times a game. Shoot the ball. More importantly to me, as in my fans' eyes, is the free throws. Giannis can't shoot. He's a bad shooter. They've defended, the way to defend him is to let him shoot threes. That they've been doing it for years. He hasn't gotten better. His free throw percentage has gone down every year for 4 years in a row. He was shooting what Ben Simmons' regular season, but he was shooting 60% in the playoffs last year, even less. And then that last game when he scored 50 points to win Finals MVP in Game 7, shot 17 of 18. And the big difference with him, people say, and I say it too, Simmons could be Giannis. He just doesn't have it up here. He doesn't have it up here. He doesn't have – or in here. He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have the courage to fight through and look stupid. He's afraid to look weak. And now there is no one weaker in all of sports, all over the world, than what Ben Simmons looks like.
He's a punchline right now.
He's a punchline. And
he's a punchline.
I made the joke, my I call him the Axis of Evil, my MBZs, the Flyers mouth breathing zombies. they were going at me on Twitter, and I just didn't have time to look at it today. And I said I was too busy looking up the scientific term for the phobia of fear of the foul line, because that's what all that stuff, that's what this all is. He's afraid to go to the foul line and look stupid. And all my defenses of him or whatever, it's a shame. It's just a shame. I mean,
you did what you were supposed to do. You're a fan. You're a fan. And like, listen, anybody is going to go to the well to protect their players, especially ones that they believe in. The sad part here is that your faith that you placed in that man, he never did anything to reward you for your faith. Because every single year he came back and he was the exact same player that left the season before. The thing that you could say about Embiid, and we can joke around with Embiid all the time, and we do, with the Chick-fil-A and, like out of shape and everything that me and you have bantered about on Embiid over the years. I mean, the one thing that you could say is he can't stay healthy, and that's always been the MO with Embiid, no matter how great of shape he's in, no matter what season it is. I mean, he already dinged himself. He has got right knee soreness after game one. I think we all had a little bit of a scare when we saw him come down there. But every year he worked on a different aspect of his game. Every single season he was working on low post moves. He was working on dribbling. He was working on working out of double teams. He's working on his three-point shooting. Every single year there's been something that Embiid has done in the offseason to improve his game as a player, as a franchise player, as a superstar in this league. That Ben Simmons never did that. Ben Simmons is the same player today that he was when he left college in LSU. And he's never taken anything like the coaching. It's always been and listen, the 76ers shouldn't be absolved of this either, because they've groomed this guy and coddled him all along. Well, maybe your shooting coach shouldn't be your brother. No, Ben, your brother is not going to be your shooting coach. That's what they should have done all along. I don't know. I think it was more of a hindrance to have, having a guy that's known him since he was a child and Brett Brown as his head coach for all those years. And then last year, Doc was doing the same thing. Oh, we need to cherish him. He's a treasure and all that stuff. It just didn't work out. And then right after that game seven, they all changed their tune about how they felt about Ben. And I think we all, I know I expressed my frustration throughout the year last year, because he's the type of guy where you don't mind the fact that he doesn't shoot if he can shoot 65, 70% from the free throw line. It's just the last 5 minutes of the game is the most important part of a basketball game, and that is the time of the game where Ben Simmons disappears. You saw it in games, 4 through 7, maybe 3 through 7 of that Hawks series. The only two guys that were moving the ball on the offensive side of the court for the Sixers were Embiid and Curry. It was pick and rolls. It was, here, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to screen for you to try and give you an open shot. Ben would just – you saw him on TV. He would just run to the far side corner of the court. What are you doing over there? You're not going to shoot it from out there. Like, no one's going to defend you. No one's going to take you seriously from that side of the court. They just left him. You're playing 4 against 5, and that's not fair to the rest of the players on the court.
And again, this is where I push back, and it looks like I'm the reason that I hold truth on him, and I say it all the time, listen, if he never improves at all, he's a perennial all-star. That's it. And he is one of the best players in the league until the second round of the playoffs. And we don't have any time to for him to figure out the second round of the playoffs. He could step onto the court tomorrow if they all got along, and I don't think that they do. He's not stepping on the court tomorrow. But he could contribute to winning basketball. The problem is in the second round of the playoffs where everyone else is – and this what frustrates me about Simmons, and not what people say, is that he doesn't bring – every report from players, Danny Green was new this year. J.J. Redick, when he was here, Brett Brown, Doc, Jackie McMullen, a national reporter. Everyone that he puts in the work, he works. He works at practice. He works on his own. He works. And you know what? He doesn't do it in the game. It's all up here. It's not like, oh, he doesn't care about us. He's afraid. He is afraid to look silly. He's afraid to look stupid because he shoots 58% from the free throw line. It's all up here.
Does he realize that he's looking stupid in the process of trying not to look stupid?
It's
in his head.
It's totally in his head. That doesn't excuse him not being a professional and getting better. And it definitely doesn't excuse his behavior this week or, you know, since the end of last season. Shit happens, bleep me in the studio, guys, but shit happens and you work through it. And Embiid, what he said, give me a break. There's been way worse things said between teammates. Doc, he's an idiot. He shouldn't have said what he said. But, like, come on, man. You get through it. You're a professional. You get paid $34 million. You get paid $34 million, like Don Draper said to Peggy Olson. That's what the money's for. That's why you get paid $34 million, because you work through this stuff. So it's frustrating to me, and listen, Sack, I'm not saying you were wrong that he doesn't care. He is afraid to look stupid. He does put in the work. And people are like, he doesn't care. He doesn't want to be better. I think he does want to be better. But there's this, like, I don't know what happened with the Sixers. They got him and Fultz.
Mental block?
Yeah, him and Fultz. Just like a mental block. It happens. They got the yips. It happens with pitchers. It happens more so, it seems, in baseball. It can happen with goalies. I think Carter Hart last year, it got in his head. I don't think Carter Hart is a bad goal. We'll talk about the Flyers, but just these are other examples of it happening. I don't know about Carter Hart. The difference is they work through it. They get better. They don't deny it. They don't push it away. And I think what's happening now is, beyond just the terrible representation that Clutch Sports gave Ben Simmons this offseason.
Awful.
Just awful. Terrible. Just every one of those, every single stupid leaked source report and all that, is that he's now facing he's all of this denial and pushing away and denial and da da da. He's just it's come to an end. It's come to a point here where now he's got to confront this, and he's burned all the. You don't burn the bridges until you cross them. You know what I'm saying? He burned the bridge before he crossed them, and we can talk about logistics and all that, and like the chemistry in the locker room and all that stuff. Awesome comments by Embiid today, but I think the players are just I don't think
they're
they want to. I don't think they want to. They don't want to beat him up or anything. They're just like, what? Come on, man. I mean, imagine whatever job you do. It doesn't matter what you do. If someone is like that, like things aren't going their way and they walk away, and expect to get paid. So it's just terrible. And what we'll talk a little about the Sixers played their first game in New Orleans yesterday. And, hate to say it, there was a Simmons size hole in the game, especially in the starting lineup. We'll talk about some particulars about that. But, for me, it might never click. It might never click with him. It's probably going to click not with the Sixers. But, man, when it clicks, he can be one of the best of all time. And he doesn't have to be a good, deadly shooter. He can shoot 70% from the free throw line and 30% from three. The problem isn't that he's bad at it. It's that he doesn't do it. And he looks so ridiculous not doing it. The regular season, all this stuff that people like, I've got plenty of friends that are like, I want him gone. I don't care. Trade him for TJ McConnell. I don't care. That's all great, but they're not going to get closer to a championship with that. I don't
think that. Why don't you dive into what Daryl Morey said today?
Yeah, so Daryl Morey went on one of
Mike
the
Mike Missinelli show.
Yeah, the Mike Missinelli show, and I've loved Daryl Morey. I listened to him on Bill Simmons' podcast and various other podcasts. For the last decade since he was down in Houston, I always liked his approach. He speaks kind of matter of factly and real pragmatic. Right. Which is really what you want in a GM. You don't want an emotional GM because they make bad decisions. We're emotional about the decisions about starting our fantasy football lineups, and we make mistakes all the time.
You do.
Well, I am most points in the Green Legion Big Boy League. All I needed was for you to leave the league, and I'm back. I'm back.
What's
track.
Your record?
I think it is. Where are we? I think we're. I'm 4-2.
4-2.
I mean,
okay,
I'm in. One guy is 5-1, but I beat him. I've got like, and I've got like 200 more points than him. But I think I'm like third in the standings. There's two people that are 5-1, and I'm 4-2.
Stanker's got to be up there, right?
Stanker's right. He's 4-2 as well. I just have more points.
I could just tell last year. He's the type of guy that's always at the top of the league.
But so with this back to Simmons and where it is like, you watch the game yesterday. Danny Green had one shot. You need one 3-pointer. He took one 3-point attempt, one shot. Steph. I'm combining their names.
You're combining.
Yeah, Seth Curry took five shots. He only took three threes. And that's just not going to cut it. And those dudes, Danny Green had a career year from the 3-point line because he just camped out, at the baseline for an open three. And that's what Ben Simmons is good at. He's good at open court power, speed, vision, strength, length, distributing the ball to the open guy there and hitting threes. He's assisted in more threes than anybody in the league except LeBron since he came in. Those things. They don't win you the second round because in the second round, teams, you've been scouted out. You're playing the best of the best in the league.
Defenses get clamped up. You're playing the same team seven times in a row.
It's a half court. Yeah. It's a half court offense. And Ben Simmons is useless in half court offense. And that's the problem. But he's definitely not useless on defense. He's definitely not useless in transition and that distribution. So it's like, I don't want him back because I don't want to. If he comes back, they could be the first seed again, and they're going to lose in the second round because they can't play him. So it's kind of like, where do you go? It's frustrating, but I see that you got your finger out here. This is the deal, though. Back to Daryl Morey. He said on
that's kind of what I want to dive into.
Yeah, yeah. He
small question, real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so are you going to be at opening night?
Of course.
So what do you expect the reaction to be? This is a two-part question here. Now, Simmons obviously won't be in the house tomorrow night.
Right.
There's no
he's got chance. He's got a backache, they said.
There's 0% chance that he's going to be in the arena. So the hostility that is still going to be towards Ben Simmons. You saw the AEW at the Leocora Center. I guarantee you, early and often, you're going to get the F Ben Simmons chance. No doubt about it. Will you partake?
I'll tell you that, and not because I don't feel that way. I really don't do a whole lot of
F-bomb
and booing. Yeah, I just like, I don't. If I'm on a Green Legion trip, I do. I'm yelling the whole time. But generally, I don't do that. I mean, maybe I will. I don't know, but... Man, like, yes.
Well, it depends on how things go tomorrow. Like what Woj says that, what if something like comes out of that meeting tomorrow between Ben Simmons and the Sixers brass that just completely ticks you off. And then tomorrow night you're at the game and that Ben Simmons chant flares up. I guarantee you, you're going to be in. Is it going to be you and Abby?
Yep. Yeah. That's a date night.
Ooh,
mommy and daddy, mommy and daddy, date night.
Baby. All right, so there's that. All right, now I don't want to talk any more about Ben Simmons because there's other aspects of the team that I want to dive into.
Right.
I want to talk about the division. I want to talk about the conference. I want to see what your outlook is. Is there going to be any surprises on this team this year? The end game with Ben Simmons. Daryl Morey said he'll stretch it out over the course of 4 years. He's got no problem with that. He has no problem working in an uncomfortable environment. No matter how much it's going to be uncomfortable for others, he doesn't care, which I love. I appreciate from the guy. You said something before we went on air tonight. I want you to dive into that a little bit, but what do you think is the end game? When is this going to end? Is it December 15th? Is it the trade deadline? Is it next summer? Is it this week? This weekend? What is the end game? What's your prediction on the outcome? Not where he's going to go, not what he's going to draw, not who he's going to bring in, but what's your prediction? Because I'll tell you what, Diaz, I'm just going to put my opinion on this. The best case scenario for Dalmore is for the Trailblazers or the Wizards to get off to absolutely horrendous starts and hope that one of those players, Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard, become sour grapes and want to get the hell out. Like Lillard finds out that Chauncey Billups can't coach and they don't agree with organizational philosophies, and that by Christmas time, that these two guys don't want to be a part of those organizations anymore, and they ask out. That, to me, is the best-case scenario out of all of this, and then the Sixers have that one big chip. It's not the huge chip. It's not the game-changer chip, but Ben Simmons is a big chip. They had that chip to use. What's your opinion?
Well, the first thing is that when the team and the players, they said they want Ben back, they want him on the team and all that, I believe all of that. They don't necessarily love him and like him and want to go out with him and eat dinner with him.
I agree with you.
They want him back because he is a good player no matter how frustrating he is and no matter how sick we are, he is a good player. He is an all-star level player with a huge flaw that magnifies.
And a huge ego.
Huge ego the deeper you get into the playoffs. That said, I think the best case scenario is that, although Dame Lillard went 0-for-9 from 3-point last night in the first game. So that's not all that great.
I don't give a damn. He can go 0-for-9 all day. I don't care.
But there is, even watching the Sixers last night versus the Pelicans, the starting lineup, you had said, hey, it was great that the second team came in and kind of took over and extended the lead and let the starter sit. Like, the starters weren't doing all that hot. There is no ball handling and passing in this starting lineup that's great. Maxey had a great day, but he's a slasher guard. So there's a couple of things. I'll break it down. He said, what do I think happening? I think what might happen, and we'll see tomorrow versus the Nets, it looked very clunky yesterday without a whole lot of, point guard. Without a point, there's a point guard size hole. New Orleans didn't have Zion. They're not expected to do anything this year. Maybe they'll play, they'll qualify for the play-in game or the play-in tournament, whatever they call it. They're not expected to do much. Brooklyn is expected overwhelming favorites to win the title. So we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But I think more the soonest that a trade would happen would be after December 15th. So this is kind of how it works in the NBA. I don't know how it works in NHL, but when you sign or trade for a player, a player comes on your team, or you sign him in free agency. Once there's some deadline, August 1st or something like that. Once they're on the team, they cannot be moved until after December 15th. So what happens is the amount of suitors or other teams that would be interested, there might be plenty of teams that are interested, but they can't move some of their stuff. Some of their stuff is locked, some of the players are locked in. So whether
assets.
Team trade where you send stuff out to different teams and, you mix it all around, it just cuts down on the available teams that you can make a deal with. So the earliest it will be is December 15th. How they handle it in the meantime, Doc Rivers is a ninny. He thinks he's the molder of men, and he said a lot of good things. And he went through the Clippers with the Donald Sterling mess, and he's a Hall of Fame coach and all that, blah blah blah. But he really thinks, I truly believe he thinks that he can mend all these fences that are broken down through all of this. I think he really does want him back on the court. Yeah, I think Joel Embiid is sick of him and doesn't want him around. He probably wants him on the court, but he's willing to just get him away. And
do you think he said, "I'm like I don't care for that man" with the comma in there? Like,
no comma. There was no comma.
Yeah, I mean, he said man, he meant Ben.
Yeah, he said right? I don't care. I don't care for that man.
Yeah, somebody else was.
He does what he wants.
When he said he does what he wants. That to me was man.
Yes,
Ben,
that's right.
Man, he's not a man. He's a child.
But what Morey said today, it's very simple. They didn't necessarily want to trade Ben Simmons. if James Harden's available, they'll trade Ben Simmons. You know, it. So they're not actively. We all want Ben Simmons gone because he quote unquote cost us the second round series, which he had a big part of it. I don't know the percentages. We could talk about it. There's a lot more than was just Ben Simmons. A lot of that's on Doc Rivers too. But we're willing. Oh, you want to trade? Okay, we're willing to trade you. You're allowed to go out and find some offers. We're willing to take some offers too. They didn't find any offer that they liked. And what Daryl Morey said today is, listen, Ben Simmons on this team gives us the best chance of winning a championship. People don't like it. They might not agree with it. We're willing to, if he wants to trade, we are willing to trade him if it brings back a star. You know, I know you hate the term all-star, so we don't have to say all-star, but a star quality, that level of a player that we feel we can integrate smoothly into the rest of the team, that provides the skills that we need. But otherwise, we're willing to wait. But you signed a 5-year deal. You have 4 years left. We own your rights. There's nothing really you can do. And now Ben Simmons is all petulant about it, shows up because he wants his money, and is still petulant like a 5-year-old. You get paid to show up and do your work. So I don't think anything's going to happen until December 15th. How they navigate the next few weeks. Listen, I don't know. I don't know that if they say his back hurts, he's not mentally prepared to join the Sixers.
Biggest bunch
on the court
of horse crap I could ever think of in my whole time.
Listen, take it. I'd rather it. Listen, if it's a bunch of BS, actually, I don't think it's BS. I just think that he burned every bridge to get to this point. I think he is not mentally prepared. He's not mentally prepared to see what the fans are going to give him, what his teammates are going to give him, what the fans at every city goes. He's going to get hell for years.
They were chanting last night in New Orleans.
Yeah,
what do you think is going to happen when
we want
go to
Simmons.
Boston and Brooklyn and like, you know, like, God, the Lakers. And I'll tell you what, Ben Simmons.
The Knicks.
Ben Simmons, oh, without a doubt, man. They're you know, the Knicks fans, the Knicks faithful, they're back. But I'll tell you this about Ben Simmons, and this is the one thing that guy really hopes for. He wants to be traded to a Western Conference team, a team that's only going to show up in Philly once a year. Because, and I'll tell you this, there will be something magically happens for him every year for the rest of his career to where he doesn't have to play in Philadelphia ever again. And that's the type of guy that he is, because when Scott Rolen asked out, he got booed here unmercifully for the rest of his career. And I was a Scott Rolen guy. I love Scott Rolen, and I never booed him. And I especially didn't boo him because his first game back here was Harry Cowell's Appreciation Day. He got put into the Hall of Fame, and they honored him in a pregame ceremony against the Cardinals. And when they were going to put him in the convertible to take him around the Veterans Stadium turf, Scott Rolen came out of the dugout in his Cardinals uniform, gave Harry a hug, and opened up the door for him to let him in the car. That, to me, was the ultimate sign of respect. And he never trashed the city. Never did. But the city and the fan base, they took it that way.
Right.
He got booed the rest of his career. But he took his lickings every single time he came back. J.D. Drew didn't want to play here, right? Didn't want to play here. Said he wouldn't sign here at all. And then the next year he got redrafted. His whole career, he was booed here.
Yep.
Jason Worth. The Phillies gave him a three-year, $60 million offer. He got three
140.
Times.
Well, yeah, 140
seven
over five
years,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was 7 and 120.
Okay.
So I don't blame him for taking that.
Yeah.
It actually worked out because he went to a better team, not in 2011, but 2012 until the end of his career. Was a better team in the Nationals. He got booed the rest of his career. But those guys took their lickings every single time they came into Philadelphia, and I respect that. Ben Simmons doesn't want any of that noise ever again. He never wants to play another game, whether it's in a Sixers uniform or any other team. He never wants to get that noise that LeBron got when he went back to Cleveland, that Durant got when he went back to Oklahoma City. He never wants to deal with that noise because mentally he can't handle it.
I think, though, this is a culmination and this behavior that we're seeing from him. It's, listen, if he's ever going to get it right, this is the beginning of it. He is so messed up in the head by like you said, his brother being his shooting coach. He doesn't listen to anyone outside of his circle. And listen, I get it. You don't trust people that you're not sure of. You think everyone's out to get you. You're a big time star. You know, everyone's out to get you. But listen, man, they're not asking for a whole lot. They're asking you to make your foul shots and to be aggressive to the hoop. He's got all the talent. It's just basic.
They're asking you to get on the court and prove yourself. Prove yourself. Go out there and raise your value back up. I don't think that's hard. I mean, if your work ethic is as much as you think that you say that it has been over this summer, when you put out your Fugazi videos of you making jump shots and all that stuff, put it out there on the court. Because the sooner you up your trade value and you put yourself back out there and you show these teams, hey, listen, this is what I can be, Daryl Morey will swing you in a deal. But you have to live up to your end of the bargain. And that's something that he's not willing to do.
And the problem now is it's showing, like, listen, you're going to – the goal of all these teams is to make the playoffs. And they think if they're acquiring you, you're going to help them make the playoffs. This stuff doesn't – it's not unique to Philadelphia or the Philadelphia fans or Doc Rivers. You're going to have to go to the free throw line. You're going to have to show aggressiveness. They can't – whatever team you're on can't play 4-on-5 in the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
So, like, right. Whatever however uncomfortable you are and you want a new start, that's fine. He's going to have to change what he does. And it's not, like, a lot. He doesn't have to be a three-point shooter. He just,
you don't need to be Steph Curry.
If he's wide open, shoot the three. And he makes them. All these reports, I'm referencing Jackie McMullen because she says it whenever this topic comes up. She goes, I see him in practice. He makes them all the time. I mean, he's not the best one on the court or anything like that, but it's not like he goes 1-for-10. He has the ability to do it. It's all up in his mind. Now, this whole mess right here, whether he comes back, whether he doesn't, you know, I don't know if I hope that he comes back. We're beyond the point of reclamation. It would be one of the greatest reclamation stories, whether it's here or anywhere else, if he actually turns this whole thing around, because it's so small. It's just like the smallest little part of the game.
Right.
But
right.
But there's so much intense fear from him. He's afraid, and because it's a problem. I was asking some people: is it possible to have an extreme ego at the same time of an extreme lack of confidence? Because that's what he has. It's like you have this ego that you don't have a problem, but you know you have this big problem. So, you know, listen, if he gets a medical exemption to get his head right, you know, because of what he's done the last few months, people are going to call BS on him and call him a wimp and all that stuff. But if that's what he needs and goes away and does it, fine. People will get used to him not being around. I think what's going to happen is, well, let's talk about some actual basketball.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, so why don't we dive?
Yeah,
why don't we dive into to the Sixers as
okay, well? Okay, yeah.
So I'm looking at this this Sixers team, okay, and I kind of want to get your opinion on where you think that they're at, because I look at them, they're in the toughest division, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference, second toughest in basketball. The Pacific is tougher. I mean, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Suns are all in that division. That's a tough division right there. I look at our division. You have the NBA favorites. You have the Brooklyn Nets in the division. The New York Knicks, I think that – listen, say what you will, but I think the Knicks are going to be, you know, I think they're still going to be in that 4-5 range as far as seeding is concerned. And then the Celtics are always a thorn in our side, and vice versa. Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto is a wild card. You never quite know with them and what they have. But what are your expectations for this season? You know, with all this Ben Simmons situation going on, we don't have to continue to dive into him. But as far as like what the Sixers currently have on paper, as far as starters are concerned and not knowing what's going to come back, and on top of that as well, give me a wild card on this team, a player that not a lot of people know about. Everybody knows about Embiid, and everybody knows about Tobias, and we all love Maxey and Seth Curry, and you know Danny Green is a proven winner across the league. Who is a guy on this team that you have high expectations for that not a lot of people know about going into the season?
Well, to answer the player question, I mean the new addition, George Niang. He is.
I was impressed by him last night.
Yeah, he's a 3-point shooter. He's slow, but he plays with effort. Like on defense, he's not going to be, you know, a defensive player of the year candidate, but
not a lot of those.
No, but he's a willing defender. A nice addition. He's a nice addition to the team, and I think people don't know him. Isaiah Joe got some minutes.
Where did he previously play?
Niang came from Utah.
Utah? Okay.
Utah, the Jazz, yeah.
And how long has he been in the league for?
Man, you're putting me on the spot. I think it. Between second and third contract, so like 6-7 years ish.
Okay,
something like that.
And what? How long did he sign with us for?
2 years, I believe. It's a 2-year deal.
Not a bad contract.
No, no, good signing. You know, we picked up. I can't believe it. Once they signed Andre Drummond for a league minimum, it's like which is fine. The money's
he played well last night too.
That's a signing though that doesn't mesh well with Ben Simmons. So you knew the writing was on the wall that Ben Simmons was. They were expecting him not to be on this team as well. I wish they would just get a stretch five, a guy that could hit 3-pointers. That's tall. The idea would be Al Horford, not for $24 million, but someone that can provide those same skills. Isaiah Joe got some minutes. He didn't look too sharp. He's a G leaguer. He's a second round pick from last year. Hey, hopefully he improves. So, as far as the division and the conference go, you've got your hockey brain on. There are, the divisions don't mean anything. It's seeded based off conference. So it does like winning. You don't get a banner for winning the Atlantic division.
But you play your division opponents more than you play anybody.
That's
else.
True.
That's the only reason why I brought up the division, because I know you're going to bring up the division when we talk about the Flyers, because we play that division and the teams in that division more than anybody else, and that's the scary part when you're talking about points in a hockey system. Basketball is head to head, and you know, like, they're not going to win the division over the Nets, especially. If the Nets do wind up getting Kyrie back.
Well, I mean, see, this is the thing. Like, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because it does. But, like, teams like the Nets, they don't care about that. The Lakers, they don't care.
Oh, man.
They don't care about seed.
I don't think the Lakers are going to work out.
The main thing is, and like last year, I mean, we would talk about it. The main thing is health. You have to be healthy entering the playoffs, because the playoffs is a completely different game. But, you know, the Nets are the overwhelming favorites. I would pick them to win the East. I'd pick them to win the Atlantic Division. I mean, I'd pick them to win. But like last year, they didn't care about it. They felt that they were the better team. They wanted to make sure they were healthy. They rest guys down the stretch. You know, we could talk about, you know, CYO Dad, like, oh, these players should probably think about it. The teams, the coaches, the players, everyone's on the same page here, except for people like, in some cases, Doc Rivers, but more so Tom Thibodeau in New York. You know, that's Tom Thibodeau in New York and the Knicks. They aren't bad. They're not a bad team, but he coaches every game like it's a playoff game. And that sounds all like,
wears on your players after a while.
That's right. And when they got to that first round series, the Hawks, something about the Hawks last year, I don't know what to make of them, because, you know, they certainly made the finals. They're not a bad team. Could there be some regression this year? They've got everyone coming back. They re-signed a bunch of their young guys to like great contracts. But, you know, they started off real slow. They had a playoff mandate from their organization. And, you know, ex-Sixers assistant coach Lloyd Pierce was their head coach. And there was trouble between John Collins. There was beef between him and Trae Young. Their dads were going at it. John Collins didn't like, or Trae Young didn't like Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd Pierce got fired.
McMillan came in midseason.
And I think going into the playoffs, they were like, I'm making this up, 24-2 in their last 26 games at home. I mean, they went on a run. So this whole like, oh, they were the fifth seed. It's like, right, they were.
They also had the same record as the Sixers from like the point that McMillan took over.
That's right.
Until the end of the season, they had the same record as the Sixers did, and the Sixers were the number one seed.
That's right. So, you know, it doesn't excuse what happened in that series. But they weren't
you can't lose three home games at home if you're a one seed.
That's right.
You just can't do it.
So, you know, I don't know there. I think that the Sixers probably right now, after watching, like, I wasn't really impressed by the game last night. I would think they're probably a 4 or 5 seed. I would put the Nets ahead of them. I would put the Bucks. I think the Bucks are the best team in the league. I think they got some swagger after the championship.
Exactly. I think that's one of those things to where winning that championship and knowing that Giannis can do it in Milwaukee, I think that right there puts a little extra oomph in them. Like a lot of times, like with a team, it's a matter of not just getting to the mountain, it's getting over top of that mountain. And then they figured that out. Now they know how to do it. Right. So to me,
confidence. Yeah,
I think the Bucks are the team to beat in the East. Say what you will about the Nets, but they have a lot of age on that roster, man. I mean, like, you know, Blake Griffin's up there. LaMarcus Aldridge came back from retirement, a brief retirement. He's back. He's on the older side of things.
They don't have a whole lot of size either. You know,
when you have two of the top five, six players in the world on your team, you're going to compete. You're going to be there. But that's an awkwardly shaped roster, especially when you don't have your true point guard in Kyrie. And say what you will about Kyrie, he's not a great defensive point guard, but the guy can shoot.
And he's awesome with the ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, Uncle Drew. So they're going to miss him until he comes back. But looking at the Sixers, you think they're in that four or five spot?
Yeah, I mean,
five range.
It matters what they get back in a trade. I'll tell you this: I hate him. I don't want him on the team anymore. I don't want to go through the second round. But I acknowledge if Ben Simmons, if let's say all that didn't happen, and he was on the team right here, if not the top seed, the second seed, whether it's the Bucks or the Nets, top three seed, easy, no doubt about it. Absolutely. With him off the team and not knowing what we get in the return, somewhere between 4 and 6 or 3 and 6, I'd say. And, I could see them easily being the 3 seed, and I could easily see him being the 6 seed.
Right.
Embiid is too good. As long as Embiid is relatively healthy, he always sits his 15 to 20 games a year. Which seems to be the case with everyone except for Giannis and Jokic these days. That's kind of where I see them. They're in the mix there. All these teams, we think that, progress isn't always linear. You don't win one round and the next year you win two rounds and then the next year you win three rounds. I mean,
they've just been stuck in that second round.
Yeah,
I know the 1 year in the bubble, they went out in the first round. They got swept by the Celtics. But
Without Simmons.
And, also it's a different circumstance. It really can't really hold that over their heads.
Right.
And we all kind of had the feeling that Brett Brown was on his way out anyway. But they've just been stuck in that second round. The last two times they've been in that second round, they've lost in game sevens. It's like you want them to get over that hump. You want to see them get into that Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. I mean, it's going to be 21 years next spring, Diaz, that they haven't been in an Eastern Conference Finals. And 2001 is the only time since 1985. I mean, you'd like to think that this team with Embiid, but that trade chip with Ben Simmons, because that guy never wants to play here again. He just doesn't. I just never envision him being in a Sixers uniform again. So you can't rely on him for any kind of production. It's just a matter of when Daryl Morey gets a deal that's enough to satisfy his taste and the team's needs, and to be able to. I think we're not really going to know what this team is, and I hope it's sooner rather than later, and I hope it's for something. But he's playing the end game with this, and we're really not going to know what this team exactly is until we get to probably early mid February at that point, and hopefully there's a deal made by then, and we can move on from Ben Simmons and really form this team and put these players around Embiid like the way that they did in Milwaukee by surrounding Giannis with the competent players that he needs in order to succeed.
Yeah, I think by our next show, if we do, we stick with our regular program of every 2 weeks here, we'll know a little bit more about how these guys look without Simmons on the floor. I know they play the Knicks next Tuesday in New York. I'm not going to be at that one. They'll be at the next MSG, but that's a quality matchup. They got the Nets. I should probably have the schedule up here, but let's see, wrapping this up, home calendar. What do we got? Oh, this is great. We got Brooklyn.
I'm surprised it's not your desktop picture.
We got Brooklyn Friday at OKC on Sunday. That should be a win. At the Knicks, home for Detroit, home for Atlanta. That's Saturday. Home for Portland. That'll be interesting. A Dame homecoming. A back-to-back home Chicago at Detroit at Chicago. That's stupid. They shouldn't have done it like that. They should have just flipped it and had at Chicago at Detroit. Anyway, so there's some good teams there. Chicago's revamped. They've got playoff hopes.
Can we get Embiid to talk to Dame
that'll be something where we can bring it off, and oh my gosh, that's the game to go to, because Dame is going to get all the cheers, everyone's going to be cheering for him.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, so you know, we'll see in a couple weeks. They got some good games in there. They got some easy wins. But talk about a team that's riding a little bit of a high the last week. Let's talk some Flyers. Bring it to Broad, baby. Bring it back to Broad.
Bring it to Broad. Yes, what do
you
sir. Think?
Let's the most important question when we're talking about your 2021-2022 Philadelphia Flyers, the new goal song. What do you think of it?
I'm not really a fan. I mean, like, you know, it's got a little bit of a beat to it. I still love the bro hymn from Pennywise, you know, back during the Richards, Carter, early Giroux years.
You mean when they were relevant and good?
I love that song. You know, it was like the perfect thing after a goal was scored. And like, you know, because I the Rangers have a great one. You know, like,
I don't know what theirs is.
Hey, like it's awesome. Like I really like it. I haven't heard it in person. I've been to Madison Square Garden twice for Flyers Rangers, and the Rangers never scored a goal.
Oh, that's awesome. You should go every game.
Never scored a goal while I was there. But yeah, I loved Pennywise. It's okay. Like me and Sean Henderson were at the home opener on Friday night. I'll tell you this, Diaz. Like I know you got a taste of it last year in the playoffs with the Sixers. Man, to be back in an arena with 20,000 people after you went through, you know, a year and a half of virtually, like last year, we, you know, I went to about 5 Flyers games and there was like 3,500 fans there. And it was great to be in the arena. It's great to be at a game, but it's not the same as the intensity that 20,000 Flyers fans can bring, which was awesome. So like, you know, once you got a couple beers in, the, you know, you really didn't care about the goal song anymore. It was more just like, burr, 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 burr. I would have preferred they had 3 songs that they narrowed it down to, and I really wish they would have did the Tarzan one. That would have been fun.
I don't know what the Tarzan one is. You don't have to sing. You can show me offline. Yeah.
I watch wrestling. So AEW, they have a guy that's his name's Jungle Boy, and that's his theme song. So I like it. It's pretty cool, but. You know, you get used to things after a while. I'm just happy they didn't go back to Dupe. That to me, that's the Union. Keep it there. I don't need it.
It's the Union. Okay, so you know, the Flyers starting off. We'll talk about the 3 games they played. They are 2-0-1 right now. Got to have that participation.
Got to have it. Yes.
The last 2 games. Wow. 6 goal. I mean, you know, they play the expansion team, the Kraken. Monday night?
They had a couple games where they played well prior to playing us. They haven't played well since they got handled by the Devils right after that, but. Last night,
Boston. Boston, talk about a thorn in the side. The Celtics Bruins have been a problem for us for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
The Bruins especially just been dominating the Flyers. So I got nervous. They were up 3-1. The Flyers were up 3-1.
Yep.
Bruins tie it. I'm like, oh no, here we go again. And wow, they just turned on the Jets.
Yeah, they stormed out in the third period, and you know, they pretty much because. The Bruins did to us what we did to them in the first period. They scored in the last minute of the period. So it was 1-1. The Flyers wound up scoring. I think it was like 13, 14 seconds left in the first period to go into intermission with a 2-1 lead. And then we were up 3-1. And then the Bruins scored. And then they had another goal in the last minute of the second period. And it was 3-3 going into the third. I look at that Bruins team. I mean, they started Swayman in net last night. I'm not impressed by him at all. I mean, we lit him up like a Christmas tree. It's not like our previous, you know, goaltenders on the Bruins were that used to slay us in the past, like Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask. They didn't have that going for them at all. They were a man short since the first period, so they might have been a little bit gassed with not having Nick Foligno. They lost him to an upper body injury. You know how hockey works, upper right, body, yeah. Lower body. So
upper,
you know,
body is anything from the forehead down to like the waistband.
Something like that. But they lost him, and he didn't come back. I think they said on the broadcast it was more like a shoulder issue from what they could tell. So they might have been a little bit gassed early on. But I'll tell you what, this is what I've enjoyed about the Flyers. I love the goals. Don't get me wrong. I love the goals. But what they've established here in their first 3 games, especially at home, is that nobody is going to mess with our stars. Nobody is going to mess with them. Like, someone took a run at Giroux on Tuesday night in the Kraken game. And you would think, you know, first time Flyers are playing the Seattle Kraken, and, you know, it's going to be just a typical Western Conference, Eastern Conference game. And, you know, like, we're just going to play and you're going to play. Man, there were so many penalty minutes in that game between both teams. And once Nate Thompson got his hands on, God, was it Bastion, who made a run at Giroux in the second period, he destroyed him. And the Flyers are fighting. The hard hits, it's a physicality style that they didn't have last season. There was a lot of games that got out of control, and the other teams were taking runs at our star players, Giroux, Couturier.
Giroux is a star.
Giroux is a star player.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Hall of Fame player. Yes. Right. Okay. Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So they're taking runs on our players, but we didn't have anybody that was sticking up for them physically. And these guys that they brought in, they have a physical style to their game, and it's not like old school. You're not going to get the goons like you used to in hockey, but these guys
can actually play.
They can play, but they're not scared to drop the gloves. And that's the difference on this team so far this season. We've established this physical style of play.
Well, that was one of, you must have seen my notes. I was questioning. It seems like that's what people were most fired up for. So what you're saying is people aren't fired up for fights. They're fired up for, you're not going to push us around anymore.
Right.
Talk about some these new guys. You said, oh, this new blood, these new guys coming. Talk to them about them. My man, Rasmus. And was it Ristolainen?
Ristolainen, yeah.
Ristolainen, okay.
Yeah, so he missed the first two games of the season. He made a season debut against the Bruins. He made some defensive mistakes, but he's a physical presence, and that's what they brought him in for. He's not scared to put the body on you. He will clear out the front of the net. Last year, a lot of guys took liberties standing in front of our goaltenders, and they weren't being punished for it. If you're going to stand in front of the net, you're going to stand in front of a goaltender, you need to be punished for it. You know, like, you're going to have to pay the price in order for you to be able to deflect the puck without, you know, having somebody on your back. Or if you're going to get a clear shot from that area of the ice, you need to pay the price for it. Whether you're going to score or not, you have to have a presence there. That's what Ristolainen's there for. He's not the best. Like, you know, a lot of people like sabermetrics and analytics. He's not the best defenseman on that end of things, but he will have a physical presence out there on the ice. So you can expect that. He's not the most exciting guy, though, that they've added. Cam Atkinson, the player that they got back in the Jake Voracek deal. Cam Atkinson has 3 goals in the first 3 games. The Flyers are the only team in hockey that have 3 players on their roster that have 3 goals so far this season.
Do we have to call him Cammy? I think buddies were calling him. I thought maybe his last name is Atkinson. What about like Attaboy? Can we do something like that? Cammy, I can't call him Cammy.
I haven't heard his nickname yet. I'll let you know when I do.
Okay.
But the line that he's playing on right now with Farabee and Derek Brassard was a late signing in the offseason by the Flyers. I think at that point they knew that Kevin Hayes was going to be down with abdominal surgery. So they needed, you know, they needed some depth on the roster. And then Brassard has been a thorn in our sides for years, whether he played for the Rangers or the Islanders the last couple of years, he has been a thorn in our sides. I'll tell you what, Kevin Hayes, when he comes back in a few weeks, and, you know, you would say that Kevin Hayes would be plugged in as the second line center. I don't think that's going to be the case. I you can't touch this line right now. Brassard, Farabee, and Atkinson has been their most dominant offensive line. And until that line kind of tapers off, when Kevin Hayes comes back, he's going to be your third line center. He's going to be right on that next line with James Van Riemsdyk, which actually just adds to your depth.
So, and let me ask you this. This might be the biggest addition of the season. Is Carter Hart back? Well, let me ask you this. What's going to be the difference from this year? We'll get into the division and some of the competition, but just like, right, forget about where they finish and all that stuff. To be a better team than last year, is it going to be the new defensemen and the toughness they're bringing? Is it going to be some of these, you know, Cam Atkinson, score an extra score or two? Or is it going to be Carter Hart getting back to, or at least close to. He was a mess last year. Carson Wentz, Ben Simmons, Carter Hart, they were all messes up in the head, right? You know, the Phillies, their first round pick from 2016 can't even make the big league. No. But I mean, Carter Hart was a mess. He's got all the talent. He wasn't straight up serious. Is he back, or is it too early to say that? I mean, you know, that first game, I'm telling you, I was like, oh no, here we go again, where they had the lead, they had a 2-goal lead, they give it up, they go into overtime.
It was only 1-0. It was only 1-0 after one. The Flyers dominated the first period against the Canucks.
Yeah, they were down 4-1 and came back. Yeah,
yeah, they dominated that first period. And a lot of times when you're a road team and you're in a hostile environment like Philadelphia, getting out of that first period only being down 1-0 is like, oh man, like you really at that point you feel like you're winning the game or you're tied. And they came out and they scored 4 goals in the second period, and you know, none of them, like there was a couple of them that weren't pretty. The one that bounced off the boards and went in, and he didn't hug the post. There was another one where he didn't know where the puck was. It was underneath of him. But
yeah, that was like the same old Hart. I mean, it's not really his fault, but also like great goalies don't make those plays.
Sanheim was standing right there, and he pretty much got destroyed. Like, dude, you see the puck, get rid of it out of there. So like when we were leaving the game that night, there was a lot of people who were like, oh man, well, you know, he kept us in that game to allow the offense to come back at the end of that game, and he played phenomenal in overtime. Didn't look great in the shootout, but the shootout's the shootout. I mean, you're put on an island as a goaltender.
Yeah, it's a minor part of it. They don't. What's nice is opposed to Ben Simmons, who's great in the regular season and turtles in the second round. There's no shootouts in the playoffs. So, yeah. but man, they're like worse than the league for 2 straight years.
Wow, we've been worse than the league for like 17 years now. But you know, the thing with Carter is he followed that game up and he started against the Kraken on Monday night. And you know, the Flyers were kind of scuffling. And there's no doubt, Lonnie, that Quimby and Tank are drunk right now in Vegas. But the Flyers got off to kind of a sluggish start, and then the Kraken had an opportunity right on the doorstep, a guy all by himself. And Carter Hart dove back, and with his glove, he kept that puck out of the net. And on the same shift, Giroux scored. Flyers went up 1-0, and then they just wound up like routing him from there. He played really well against the Kraken. You're not going to really know what you have with Carter Hart as far as like if he's back to where he was a couple years ago until about midseason. Once you get to the All-Star break, I think that's where you're going to have an understanding.
Which is that mid-January? Beginning of February,
which is also the Olympic break. They take 3 weeks off.
Oh yeah, the Olympics this year. Yeah, oh man, that'll be nice in the winter.
For the first time ever, you get the Super Bowl during the Olympics. NBC's been talking about that, but they got all that stuff covered. But yeah, they have the All-Star break, and then they go right into the 3 week break for the Olympics for the players to play out there. I still don't even think they're sure if they're going to be playing in it because it's so far away, where the Olympics is at for the winter, but. But yeah, you know, like I think you'll have a better idea. To me, this team, this season, how far it's going to go falls on the shoulders of Carter Hart. If he's going to be the guy that he was 2 years ago, we're going to be in good shape because I think with the moves, and we didn't even talk about Ryan Ellis on defense playing alongside Provorov, that pairing right there is a great pairing. We haven't had a top pairing like that since I think Pronger and Matt Carl. These two are, I'd love Niskanen a couple years ago, but Ryan Ellis is younger. If he can stay healthy alongside Provorov, he's just a steady presence, both offensively and defensively, on the PK and on the power play. And they brought in Keith Yandel. Keith Yandel, man, he is the quarterback on the power play, which hasn't been that great since Gostisbehere's first year in 2015, 2016. Yandel is taking that spot back there as far as moving the puck. He's been incredible so far through the first 3 games. The power play is only going to get better with him back there.
Let me ask you this. This is a naive, you know, Flyers fan, so to speak, but I don't even know the other teams until they get into the playoffs. If they get into the playoffs, good news for you and the Flyers. 2022 is an even numbered year. The Flyers will make the playoffs. We'll get into some predictions later, but their new backup goalie, Martin Jones. I'm going to say call him Marvin Jones forever, but Martin Jones, he had a really rough year last year. They probably They play like 25 games a year, 20 games.
They should normally play about 25 to 30.
Okay, 25 to 30. Now,
It's tough playing 60 games as an NHL goaltender. It's tough. Like,
no, I'm not saying that, but like out of the backup, you know, obviously you want the without all the stupid sports cliches, you want them to win every game. Like, are you looking for them just to break even? I mean, obviously you want to win as much as you can, but what's a fair estimate if he starts 30 games, is it 15-15, you know, 15-10-5 or whatever? I mean, what's a reasonable where that guy's not blowing chances? We're going to get into the predictions because this division is the division of death. To talk about the
dude, it's tough.
The group of death.
Listen, that's not a Flyers apologist. You're even saying it.
Yeah.
That division is tough. And if they're still doing the playoff format that they've been doing over the years, where the top four teams in each division make the playoffs, I think that's the stupidest thing that the NHL has done since post lockout. When they change that up, when they change the divisions because of Vegas coming in, terrible. It's pathetic. If you have six teams in the one division, in our division that deserve to be there, and you only have two teams in the other division at Eastern Conference that deserve to be there, I'm sorry. I don't care how it breaks down. It should be 1 through 8. It should not be this four, this four, this four, and this four.
And that's because we were just talking about NBA. I'm assuming it's probably the same in hockey too. It's like, yeah, you're right. And you play your division more than you don't. So if your division comes out with six teams in the one division and the only team has two, you're beating up on yourselves and you still come out over these other teams. It just means you were beating all those teams in the other division much more.
And then you have to beat up on them in the playoffs. So
right.
You play them more than anybody else throughout the season, and then you get in, and your part of the bracket is against three teams that you played against majority of the year. Listen, the rules are the rules. How to make the playoffs are the, you know, it's how it works. But this division, man, like the Penguins.
Yeah, let's talk about the division here. So this is basically. I mean, you could prove me say right or not, but generally speaking, throughout, you know, the prognosticators from NHL.com and ESPN and Yahoo and whatever service you want to go here. They've got the Islanders, Hurricanes, and Caps all in the playoffs, those three teams. Then it gets kind of, you know, for the most part, some people have the Rangers in there. Some people have the Flyers in there. Some people have the Penguins. But it comes down to that fourth spot, that one wild card spot from the division between Penguins, Rangers, and Flyers here. 538 gives the Flyers a 36% chance of making the playoffs. You know, is this? It could certainly be possible here. I guess here's my question. Everything's possible. Do you think the Flyers?
I've never done it before, man. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Do you think the Flyers will be a better team this year and still might miss the playoffs?
That sounds about right. I mean, they can't be any worse than they were last year. I mean, they were a pathetically structured team. I mean, they once you got past like the first month and a half of the season, everything fell apart. I mean, the wheels came off. They couldn't score. They couldn't defend. Like you were saying last year about how Brian Elliott, his numbers were better than Carter Hart's. When you got to the end of the season, they weren't anymore.
Right.
Because listen, they call it backup goalie syndrome. Okay. The team.
Oh, it's the Eagles backup quarterback syndrome. Yeah.
The team just plays better. They're more self-aware when they're out there, when a backup goaltender's out there. It's just how it goes. No matter how terrible the defense is. But if you look at the end of the season, the defense was just as bad the second half of the season. The Flyers are better on paper this year. If Carter Hart is what he was 2 years ago, and he's the guy that we believe is going to be in between the pipes in Philadelphia for us for the next 10 years. He just signed a 3-year contract extension. If he's that guy that we thought that we were getting, you know, for all those years when he was working his way up to the team and in his first 2 years here, this team can make the playoffs. They can get in. They will get in. But it's so hard because the Hurricanes are like, they're just a tough team. Barry Trotz with the Islanders. No matter where Barry Trotz is,
oh God, I can't stand that dude.
His teams always compete every single time. No matter what team that he goes to, he's turned the Islanders into Stanley Cup contenders. He's been in the Eastern Conference Finals the last 2 years with them. Until Alexander Ovechkin and Backstrom retire and John Carlson, you know, John Carlson's a lot younger than Backstrom and Ovi are. The Capitals are always going to tend to be right there in the picture. And then the Penguins. I mean, come on, man. You got proven winners, Stanley Cup champions, three-time Stanley Cup champions, Malkin, Crosby, albeit they're starting off the season injured. And then Letang, and then they always have guys that just tend to, no matter who you put on Crosby's line, they're going to produce. I mean, he's been doing that with guys forever. Chris Kunitz and Jake Guentzel, like these guys you never even heard of, and they go on there and they wind up scoring 30, 35 goals. But it's a tough division. And then on top of that, like, what are the Rangers exactly? I think the Devils, you could throw them back, towards the thing, but, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs in that division, no doubt about it. But there's no excuses this year. To me, this coaching staff, they have the pieces on the chessboard. It's just a matter of how they're going to play them.
What would you say here? This is. I'm looking at NHL.com. Out of their 15 writers, they had the Flyers. 10 of them had the Flyers missing the playoffs. 2 of them had them in the wild card. 2 of them had them 3rd in the Metro Division, and 1 had them 2nd in the Metro Division. That seems to me, I mean, listen, you want to be 1st in your division, of course, but that seems like kind of a wild swing. 10 of them having missing the playoffs. It looks like it's really one of these things where, you know, you get a bunch of new pieces. If Carter Hart comes along, they're in the playoffs, but there are just too many teams in front of them. You know, there's just too many teams in front of them. That I don't like that setup at all. They got to change that. It makes it not that fun. Looking at some of this stuff and looking kind of through, I look at Twitter here and some of the stuff, especially maybe I'm biased because I was looking, started looking on opening night. Are there, we had this one thing. This is called like, well, not confirmation bias, but your echo chamber, or your bubble. I remember we had a show where we were on Green Legion Radio. We were talking about the Sixers playoffs last year. And you had said, you know, I don't really see a whole lot of excitement for the playoffs here. You know, it's just, and I'm looking on Twitter, I don't see it. I'm like, well, on my Twitter feed, it's all excitement. I don't see anything on the Flyers stuff.
Right.
Because, you know, we follow
different things.
Right. Yeah. We follow different things. So just kind of looking through mine and then kind of going down to the Twitter wormhole, I see like a substantial, not the majority, but a substantial amount of hockey guys, you know, like, you don't understand hockey, guys.
They're the worst. They believe that
Hart can't rebound, that he's kind of like a lost cause. Are these people sane, or are they like the one that always hate whoever the Eagles QB is and they want Embiid traded because he's always hurt? Is it just like these Negadelphia type people here?
This is why we can't have nice things,
right?
You know, like, you know, pretty much anybody has a down season, we want to run them out of town. Nobody has patience for anything anymore.
Oh,
he's
what, 24, 25?
Just turned 23.
Okay, 23.
Just turned 23. So, you know, he's a young goaltender in this league. I couldn't tell you how many young goaltenders I've seen come into the NHL at the age that he did and have succeeded. Carey Price with Montreal. That's a guy that Carter Hart has been compared to, that he's emulated, that he grew up, looking up to as a goaltender. People are going to say what they want to say. This is a hot take world that we live in. Everybody has hot takes. To me, I hate hot takes. I want to talk about cold, hard facts. I want to talk about what is reality and, you know, what is real. This team right now, they're better. They're better on paper. Are they going to be better on the ice over the long stretch of the season? The biggest thing that this team can do to have success this season is they need to get off to a great start. And right now they've gotten 5 out of 6 points to start the season. Now they finish up this homestand with Florida Panthers on Saturday night, okay. But then they go on the road. And then when they come back, you know, I looked at my season ticket schedule coming up. Toronto on November 10th, Tampa on November 18th. These are games that I'm going to, that I have tickets to.
Boston, right after Tampa.
There's Boston. And then
next week, Carolina, day after Thanksgiving.
November 30th, they play the Islanders at home. And then the Avalanche, who are Stanley Cup favorites, they come here on December 6th. Like, if you look at, and these aren't the road games, they play the Oilers next week on Wednesday night on TNT. So you got to deal with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl. You know, it's like, there's so many teams, like, they have to get off to a great start and establish that winning brand of hockey. Because if you get off to a slow start, it's going to be hard to catch up.
Man, I'm looking at this November. You're right here. You know, when they come back, they have a little road trip here. Starting with that Toronto, they play home Toronto. We'll have a show before this, probably right that same week. Home Toronto, then at Carolina, at Dallas, back to back. Never easy. We know that. The following week, it's Calgary at Tampa. Home Calgary, home Tampa, home Boston, at Tampa, at Florida, back-to-back, then home Carolina, at Devils, Islanders, Rangers, a home and away, back-to-back. And then the following week, it's at Tampa on Sunday and at Colorado, or home Tampa, home Colorado. They play Tampa three times in the first, 6 weeks of the season. At least you get it out of the way, you know.
Now listen, Tampa is not what Tampa's been the last few years.
Stanley Cup champions.
Well, no, they're still favorites in the East, but they're not built the way that they were. They had to give up a lot because the salary cap, they had the highest, now like there's the salary cap in the postseason the salary cap is non-existent in the postseason. So last year, they stashed last year, Kucherov and Stamkos, both of them, and then they added. So they, for a Stanley Cup champion last year, they had the most money over the salary cap ever for a Stanley Cup champion. And
how do you stash guys? You pay them, but they're in the minors?
You pay them, but they're on the injured reserve. They don't count towards your cap. So Kucherov and Stamkos were on injured reserve. Now, once you get into the postseason, you can activate them, but you could be $20 million over the cap. It doesn't matter.
Why don't we do that more?
Well, it would be nice, but you know, I don't know how great this team would be if you stashed Giroux and Couturier on the, you know, well, that's
stash Giroux, you know, come on. You use a lot of secondary assists, but you know, all these new leaders on the team taking over, it sounds like they're taking the controls themselves and leading this team to victories.
See, this is why we can't have nice things, because you're trying to treat my guy like Ben Simmons. Like, come on, man. You know?
Ben Simmons isn't a leader. He's terrible, man. Yeah, that's just so depressing. And listen, like, even Claude Giroux, all right, like, totally different. Claude Giroux is a stand-up guy. You know, the players on the team respect him. They look up to him, even though he doesn't know what he's doing in the leadership arena. And Ben Simmons is a joke,
which is ridiculous.
But still, just like a waste of talent. Like, Ben Simmons is wasting it on his own, and for the bulk of Claude Giroux's career, the Flyers have wasted his talent. Wasted.
You finally agree with what I've been saying all along. Listen, the Flyers haven't been completely irrelevant over the last decade, but they've only been really relevant and in those postseasons every other year because of what Claude Giroux has done. Couturier is a great player. Now, Couturier isn't exactly like, he's not during the peak years of Giroux's prime. Couturier wasn't like his Malkin. He wasn't there yet offensively. When Couturier struck gold offensively is when they decided to take Giroux off of center and move him to wing to be on Couturier's line. That's where Couturier started to score 25, 30 goals a year when they put Giroux on his line. But that took away from what you would have had if you would have had a 1-2 punch down the middle. That's where Couturier's offensive game started to come out. And, you had some good players alongside him. You had Jake Voracek and, Wayne Simmons. You had good players, but they weren't great players to put you over the top to be great teams. And then you didn't have great coaches here. Great goaltending has always been a thorn in the side, but the Flyers got away with it for so many years because Ed Snyder just decided to just spend as much money as he could. He tried throwing all of his money. The only team that spent more money than us those years leading up to the lockout were the Rangers. When you know the Rangers, but the Rangers did it in terrible ways. The Flyers were at least, you know, second round Eastern Conference Finals every year. But you can't do that in a salary cap world that they came back with after the lockout in 2004-2005. That's what they came out with. And right. You know, the Flyers, when they first came out of the lockout, they signed Mike Rathje and Darian Hatcher. But when the new NHL came out and they no longer had the two-line pass, those guys were dinosaurs. So it took them a few years to, like, figure it out, and then they were in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2008. They were back in the playoffs in 2009, Stanley Cup Finals in 2010. The big thing that killed the Flyers was the Brizgalov signing.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Pronger, his career-ending eye injury. Those two things are what threw that whole entire process for the Flyers into a tizzy. It wasn't trading away Carter. It wasn't trading away Richards. It wasn't any of that. It was those two moves. Well, the one move for Brizgalov and the unfortunate career-ending injury for Pronger. That's what threw this whole entire thing off the rails for the last decade.
So let me ask you this here. This is your time. Flyers, where do they finish? Let's just say in the Eastern Conference. Where do they finish? Are they in? If they're in, are they a wild card or what? Or are they unfortunately on the outside looking in this year? We're going to have Flyers playoff hockey this April and hopefully into May. Are we going to have some?
Yeah, the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. Who out of that division is going to miss is anybody's guess. At some point, the Penguins and the Capitals have to come back down to reality. You know, Father Time catches up to everybody. I don't know if that year is going to be this year for the Penguins. I don't know if it's going to be this year for the Capitals. At some point, those teams are going to taper off. But I got to believe that this team can make it. I'm putting all my chips into the middle of the table on Carter Hart. I think Carter last year, he looks like a different man this year. The way that he talks, the way that he carries himself. If you've seen him in some of these, like he had a post game interview the other night after they beat the Kraken. He doesn't look like that little 21, 22 year old anymore, where like he kind of looked a little bit gun shy in front of the camera and in front of the mics. He carried himself really well. And I think he's self-aware of what exactly happened last year, both to himself and to the team. And he took that personally. I think he's worked on his glove hand. I think that was a big thing that killed him last year. But also, Chuck Fletcher went out and made moves. This is a different team. They don't even want to talk about last year because a lot of people want to bring up last year. And these guys are like, no. This is a different team. We've got 8 new guys in this locker room. So we're not going to talk about last year. We're looking at this year. And they believe they have a special group, and I do too. And I'm excited, Diaz. You know, this is my first season as a half season ticket holder for the Flyers. It should have been last year. I should have postseason tickets a couple years ago, but the pandemic hit. And but I look at the schedule and I'm like, man, I really look forward to them playing the Avalanche in this game and the Lightning in this game. And, you know, I can give this game up because I don't care. They're playing the Senators, you know, like, you know how that works with being a season ticket holder. But I'm excited, you know, it's weird in a 2-day span. I went from the Eagles-Bucks game and being back amongst 70,000 people at an Eagles game after being at a 6,000-person game last year against the Cowboys, and then 5 games of 3,500 fans last year at the Wells Fargo Center, and I went back to 20,000. I went from, like, next to nothing, having nothing, then kind of next to nothing, back into my home again, and it was beautiful. I think the fans are the type, you know, especially Flyers fans, that building rocks. And you know it with the Sixers, like how accountable they hold your Sixers.
Great. Every game the last 3 seasons has been sold out. Every single one of them. It's loud. They're in it from the get-go, booing the, you know, ref, you suck. It's all similar. They do the sucks when they announce the other extra team. I love it. I'm going down there tomorrow. I can't wait to be with all those fans. It's going to be great. Going to be yelling Ben Simmons chants.
Oh man, I know you are.
I am, it's way early. None of this matters, but Sixers looked real kind of clunky yesterday until Korkmaz unscrewed it. So, hey, man, hopefully Embiid's knee's okay. It's the same knee with the stupid meniscus tear that he didn't have surgery on. So, it can correct itself with rehab and everything like that. It doesn't mean that he needed surgery, but you don't want to start off that way. If he goes down for an extended period of time without a trade for this other star, we're done. But it's going to be great. And when's your next game?
My next game that I go to?
Is it the Colorado one you said?
No, my next game that I will be at, I donated my Maple Leafs tickets. I donated that to a charity event. So my next game that I'm going to is on November 18th against the Lightning.
Nice. All right. I don't know when my next game after tomorrow is. I think it's at the end of the month. But anyway, I think that's a good way to go out. I'll let you wrap it up here. But everybody, please come out next Tuesday, the Fin at the Fillmore in Philadelphia, Northern Liberties. It's right there, right by the Fillmore. Brand new restaurant. It's supposed to be great from everyone that's been there, that's checked it out. Upscale seafood bar. We're going to have Alex Singleton there. You can take pictures, autographs. We're going to be there the whole show. Hollis, we'll have Spadaro there recapping their Vegas adventure if they come back. Hollis and Quimby might not come back, but it's 30,
well,
it's
I, 35. Guess, I guess if they don't come back, I guess I'm hosting the show.
That's right. It's $35, but it's 2 hours of chef's tasting the whole menu and drinks. And of course, we'll be there. So the post available on greenlegion.com, Twitter, Instagram, we'll have it everywhere. We want to pack that building, get a little soft opening, get a little sneak preview of it. So we're looking forward to that. What do you got for me, Zach?
Nothing, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch the Sixers game tomorrow night. I'm clearing the whole schedule on Friday night. But yeah, I'm excited. And listen, we're not going to be able to do a show in 2 weeks. We're going to have to try and figure that out. I'll be in Disney in 2 weeks with the kids.
Oh, damn. We'll do one from Galaxy's Edge or something like that.
Yeah, right, man. Listen, have you ever – you'll find this out in a couple years when you take Monroe there, okay? Like, when you walk around Disney World all day, it's not just the kids that crash when you get back. You crash too. It's unbelievable how exhausting a day at Disney is, and you need to prepare yourself for the very next day too. So, but yeah, we'll hook up for sure at some point, but man, I'm going to be gassed those days chasing those two monsters around. It's going to be nuts.
All right, man. So let's head out. We'll get together next week for Green Legion Radio, and we'll get back together in a couple weeks. We'll have more Sixers results, more Flyers results. Come out and see us, Green Legion Radio at the Fin. Peace out.